Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to think more about mission. May you speak through me today and speak especially through your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I commenced work as a full-time minister in 1992, before many people here today were born. So I've been a minister for a long time. I was the assistant minister at Marylands Anglican Church, and this senior minister was Steve Semenchuk. Now, Steve had only been in ministry for 5 years, but because he started college at an early age than I did, I was only 2 years younger than him. Last year, he turned 60, and I think that's not that old anymore. Over the years, I've kept in contact with him as we've been serving together on Wollongong Regional Council with a few meetings a year, and then we were later mission area leaders together. So we used to meet together really in groups a few times a year. When I worked with him, I learned a great deal from him. And over the years, we've continued to talk about ministry when we see each other. Now, Steve was the minister at Marylands Anglican for 12 years. And under God, the church experienced a lot of growth. He's been the senior minister at this church, Dapto Anglican, since 2002. That's an interesting entrance to a church, isn't it? And it's now a very large church. Again, it's experienced substantial growth. And some of us have been to the Wollongong Men's Day, which is held there, and in what you can see is their large auditorium. Well, just over a week ago, on Friday the 3rd of May, I received a group email from the Bishop of Wollongong, Peter Hayward. It was asking us to pray for Steve, who had just gone into hospital. He'd gone to hospital because he had difficulty swallowing. The doctors had discovered a fast-growing tumour that had closed his esophagus. A few days later, another email said he was having lots of medical tests. Could we please pray? Then last Thursday night, after getting home from parish council, just a week after receiving the original news, there was another email. This one sadly said that the various oncologists and doctors have advised it's not possible to provide treatment for Steve, and he's now moving into palliative care. Bishop Peter Hayward said, "This means that Steve will not be returning home to Dapto, but will await reception in his final glorious home." Now, Marge and I have been in contact with his wife. We've been praying for Steve, and I urge you to do so. But the news has come so fast, it's really shaken me up. It's a reminder of the fragility of human life, but also of the blessing of eternity, an eternity with Jesus for all those who have a personal faith in him. Today I'm preaching on the topic of mission, and the news about our friend Steve has given an added urgency and importance to this message. You see, I said last week that mission is now from everywhere to everywhere. People need to hear and respond to the good news of Jesus, whether they're in Australia or throughout the world. Do you know, thinking about Steve Semenchuk, I've been so encouraged by his passion to make disciples. See, he's a good evangelist. He's always keen to share about Jesus. After people had become Christians, he just loved being involved in training and equipping them to become mature disciples. And part of that was getting people involved, getting off their backside and involved in ministry. Now, Steve, like all ministers, and as I've shared, me especially, is not perfect. Ministers are not perfect. Steve is flawed. He's had a number of difficult situations to deal with in his ministry, which I know a little bit about, as we've shared about them. However, he hasn't been distracted from the central task of making disciples. His life is now sadly drawing to a close. But he has faithfully had the right priorities in his life. You see, the lasting legacy a person can leave is the way God has used them to impact others to grow in their relationship with God. Steve has been mightily used by God by being involved in making disciples. And there are many, many people who are actively living as disciples of Jesus because of the ministry of Steve. Well, mission actually involves making disciples. If you'd like to follow what I'm doing on the handout, there's four pages with different passages. I've done the first page about the news, which I just thought was so apt to what I'm talking about. But let's look at how mission involves making disciples. And I'll put down a couple of verses there. Matthew 28, really familiar stuff with us, the Great Commission. Let me read it to us. Then Jesus came to them, to the disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." I believe this is a mandate for us, because we, like the first disciples, are to continue to make disciples. That's our core task. You see, in the commission given by Jesus, in verses 19 and 20, there are four verbs. Three of them are go, baptize, teach. But these are all passive verbs. The only active verb in the original language is this one of making disciples. So you could paraphrase this verse and say, make disciples as you go, as you teach, as you baptize. The central task that Jesus gives is to make disciples. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the Apostle Paul picks this up. And he says this, "And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Paul spends time with Timothy. He takes him on various missionary journeys. He teaches him on the job at what it means to be a disciple. And then he says, "I want you to make other disciples who will then make other disciples." And it's supposed to go on and on and on and on. That's our task. Mission is making disciples from everywhere to everywhere. So to support disciple making, we need to support the efforts of everyone, and this should really be all of us, in making disciples in our local community. Evangelism, training and equipping, unleashing people for ministry. But we also should, and this is more important in terms of today's topic about mission, we need to be supporting the work of our link missionaries who are involved all over the world in making disciples. I said last week that the three focuses in our series on mission were these: being aware, so raising aware of our eight link missionaries. See, Jesus says, make disciples of all nations. You see the map up there with some of the missionaries on there. We're starting to cover different parts of the world through our association with these link missionaries. So we need to raise awareness of who they are. We need to encourage more prayer support. And of course, we need to encourage more financial support. Last week, we handed out this pamphlet coloured pamphlet, which you can see there's the front and the back page and the middle pages. And if you didn't get one, on the trolley at the back, just as you go outside and on the left-hand side, there's a whole lot more. Please take one and become informed about these Link missionaries. Pray for them. Also, can I encourage you to use these things? Oh, this is the pamphlet, by the way, if you want to see a live copy. This is also the envelopes. Now, the envelopes that we put in our when we take up the offertory. And you put in next week, or you can give it to me. Of course, please don't put in just an empty one. The idea is to put money in there, cash. And as Chris encouraged, maybe forego something to actually put the money in. Give up coffee, give up alcohol for a week, or put how much you'd spend on that into this, or more. We need to be sacrificially, I believe, supporting our Link missionaries. And some of them really, really need our support. We will divide the money that's given amongst our 8 Link missionaries at the end of May. So please pray about that, and I commend it to you to do it. Well, let's now open our handout and turn to our 2 passages that we're looking at today. They are fantastic passages. Both of them deserve a sermon or a series of sermons in themselves. I'm just going to be drawing out points that I believe are relevant in terms of supporting mission from these passages. So Ephesians 2, it's a crack of a passage because it's a summary of the good news about Jesus, the gospel. Let me summarise what it says. Verses 1 to 3, we are all sinners. And we need forgiveness by God. Verses 4 to 6. We are made alive in Christ. Verse 7. We thus should show his grace in our lives. And verses 8 to 10, which Georgia helped us to understand better. We are saved by God's grace through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not saved by works. But let's especially look at verse 7. In raising and exalting Christ, God demonstrated the immeasurable greatness of his power. We see that in verse 6. Then in verse 7, we see he will continue because he's going to raise and exalt us, and through us he displays the richness of his grace. The incomparable riches of his grace. For as the living evidences of his kindness, when people look, see us living as a Christian and experiencing the reality of grace which flows into good works, we'll point people not to ourselves, we'll point them to Jesus, to the one to whom we owe our salvation. So through our lives and also our words, and you can't separate either, you've got to both live the life and speak the truth. You can't do one or other, you've got to do both. That's what the Bible says. We point people to Jesus. But also, we need to be supporting people who have gone out around the world, around Australia, to show people Jesus. So we're raising awareness of our 8 Link missionaries. I want you to pause for a moment and see if you can name them. So you might like to share it with the person on either side of you. There are 8 of them. Have a go. You've got 30 seconds. Can you name the 8 of them? Bit of a hint, Ray just noticed. Look at the map. But there's not 8 of them there yet. Ten seconds more. Okay. Now at 8 o'clock, there was only one person got all 8. Did anybody get all 8 here? Hands up. Oh, well done. That's great. I will encourage 11 o'clock to beat that. But over the next 4 weeks, we want us to all be able to name them. Let me show you and let me name them now to see if you can see who you got. You'll notice there's a map here, which we're going to complete over the next couple of weeks. But also as you come in from the car park, you also see this map. And you can see we've got a missionary in Europe. We've got a missionary in South America. We've got a missionary in Asia. We've got a number of missionaries in Australia. And we've got a missionary in South America. Let's go through them, the photos. We heard about Tejal last week. He is working with students in Zimbabwe and we're supporting him. The Haddons are in South America and Chile with CMS, and Gary's lecturing at a Bible college. Next week we have Graham Sedarenko from CMS going to come and talk about the work of CMS, including the work of the Haddons. We have the Knights, who are with BCA in Port Hedland in Western Australia, and we are supporting them. There's Patricia, who's working in Central Asia. There's Margaret, who's coming in a couple of weeks, who's working in Southwest Sydney amongst women from different cultures. Most people should know this guy. Steve McKenzie was our assistant minister here for 3 years. He is working amongst students at Bond University on the Gold Coast. Then we have Dina, who's actually going to speak to us today about her work as she returns to Croatia. And Dina's going to speak after I've finished. Then a couple of weeks ago, we had the Pennycooks, and Ian talked about his work as an itinerant preacher and teacher around the world. Well, let's move to our next passage, Romans 10. Mission involves the proclamation, the active proclamation of the gospel. In order to demonstrate the indispensable necessity of evangelism, the Apostle Paul asks four consecutive questions in verses 13 to 15. Now, in terms of making disciples, you've got to have people become disciples first, so they've got to be converted. So you can't separate them. You convert people, God converts people, then the process is to make disciples. But let's really think about evangelism as part of this. So in verses 13 to 15, in order to be saved, sinners must call on the name of the Lord. Then in verse 14, Paul says, how can they call on the one in whom they haven't believed? So people need to know and believe in the name of Jesus, which means understanding why that he died and was raised as the Lord. Then secondly, in verse 14, the second part of verse 14, Paul says, how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? People have to hear about Jesus before they can believe in him. People will not be able to believe in Jesus until they've heard him speaking through his messengers and ambassadors. Thirdly, in verse 14, Paul says, how can they hear without someone preaching? God advances his message through using human communication. And fourthly, in verse 15, Paul says, how can they preach unless they're sent? We as a church should be sending all of us out into the community to spread the good news. But we also should be supporting work around the world that's doing the same thing. Mission is from everywhere to everywhere. People are used by God to be his heralds of the wonderful message of salvation that's found in Jesus. And the essence of Paul's message is seen if we put the six verbs in the opposite order. So it goes like this. Christ sends heralds. Heralds preach. People hear. Hearers believe. Believers call. And those who call are saved. And this logic of Paul's case of evangelism is most forcibly felt when each stage is being seen as essential to the next stage. Thus, unless some people are commissioned for the task, there'll be no gospel preachers. So we have to want to send people out into the world and support them as they're being sent. So we see in verses 14 to 15 that God uses us to proclaim his message. So the challenge is, are we being used? Now, more about that in June and July. But the challenge, especially for today, is are we actively supporting our 8 Link missionaries who are doing this on behalf of us around the world? Yesterday morning, I conducted a baptism at our church in the Heritage Building. I do them on Saturday mornings, and I've done one a week for the last 3 weeks. I try and use these occasions to speak about what it means to believe in Jesus, because these are baptisms from people outside the church, and they've got sort of some idea, the people, the parents, but they have lots of friends, and it's a great opportunity to talk about Jesus. What we do is I show them a bit of a Colin DVD, especially for the kids, and he communicates in only the way he can, and people just watch it. And then I do some readings from this book, The Essential Jesus. And as we've got hundreds or thousands of these, I give them to everyone with the order of service. And I do a couple of readings and try and preach the gospel about Jesus as well as I can. And then I say, if you'd like to take this home, you're most welcome, because we've got thousands of them. Let me tell you, lots of people do. Not everybody, but a considerable number do. Now, when I do baptisms, it was interesting what happened at the service or before the service yesterday. I observed, as often happens, that people who do not know our church and our buildings find it difficult to work out how to get into the Heritage Building. They will park in the car park out there, and I'm in my office just looking at them, and then instead of coming through the car park entry, they will walk all the way around the Heritage Building looking for a door to get into that building. Even though there are signs on the front of the foyer. They want to try and get into these old sort of doors that we don't use anymore. Now, I'm open to suggestions about what we do about this issue. However, it also shows us that people don't expect the church to change. They think church is just the old-fashioned building. I even sometimes go out in the car park and stand just at that foyer saying, come this way. They seem to ignore me and want to go the other way to get ridden this way. But in spite of me actually putting signs up saying entrance to church at the one at the front and then the one here, they still seem to get lost. People have to, and they want to come in because they want to come to the baptism. People have to be shown the way to get into our church building sometimes. Even though, as I'm telling it to most of the people who are regulars, they're thinking, it's obvious, isn't it? You just come in from the car park into the foyer. You just come in from the front into the foyer. We know, but newcomers, visitors, don't know, and they get confused. Well, as I was reflecting on this, I thought, that's a helpful analogy. In a similar way that we can overlook the point that people have to be shown the way to Jesus. They don't know the way. They may not have even heard about him. They don't know the gospel message, which is put so well in our two passages. Sometimes they get confused. But who does God use to point out the way? Me and you and you and you. That's who God uses. So let us be committed to making disciples of all nations. Let's be active in evangelism and disciple making in our local community. But let us especially today focus on supporting activities around the world through our 8 Link missionaries that are doing evangelism, that are making disciples. We need to have a world perspective. Now, our passages today have shown why we should support mission. But there's a bonus You see, as we as a church support mission, it helps our church. Have a look at the back page. Stuart Piggin, a church historian, has written an article that's in a book about how a mission focus greatly benefits a church. 8 or 9 points. I just want to read the first and the last and let you read the rest of them yourself. Missionary zeal is normally happy to hit any target, and those most zealous for the propagation of the faith abroad are usually those most zealous for its propagation at home. So focus on mission work helps us focus on evangelism here. And the last one, those who engage in foreign missions, and I think we can expand to say those who support foreign missions and hear missionaries returning talking about things, acquire a perspective and a worldview which enable them to counteract the materialism, ethnocentricity, and parochialism which defigure the Western church. So there's a whole lot of bonuses. Let's now pray about mission work. And before Dina comes, I thought it'd be good for us to stretch our legs. So as we pray, would you please stand? And we'll pray about these things. Heavenly Father, help us to have an increased awareness of who our 8 link missionaries are. Help us to pray for them, to find out more and to support them and to partner with them. And Father, as they all have needs, financial needs, help us to contribute in a sacrificial way to support their work around the world. Amen.